still kung fu kick you in the dick. Old man Wade ain't nothing to fuck with. Old man Wade might stomp a cunt quick. Don't call old man Wade a punk bitch, cause he'll kung fu kick you in the dick.
Congratulations, old man Wade, for you were victorious by way of swift kick to the dick.
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stubborn, the Lord of Laughter, Old Man Wade. I'm sitting here with my lovely life.
Hey.
With her normal enthusiasm, as always. I'll be our special guest, Duke the Pin here. Say hi, Duke. He yawned, but no one could see it.
Already.
And across the state, across the city, we have the pinnacle of political perfection, the superior Super Bowl hobby.
What up, what up, what up?
Not much, man. So.
Suffering right now.
Huh?
Suffering.
How are you suffering right now?
Oh, ate too much during National Pilgrim Suck Day.
Yeah.
Now I'm feeling the effects of too much turkey.
Dog, I was legitimately up until about 5:30 last night because I got home. I had a training after work yesterday. So then we had to stop.
Like, who the fuck schedules training for their employee on Thanksgiving Day after working overnight?
Yeah, that's bullshit.
And they don't pay for him to have time and a half for, and like double time for him working overtime and being there on the holiday. They only pay one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. Our company's kind of shiesty.
But now, the funny part about it was, everyone was like, oh, but you're getting time and a half. I'm like, I don't care. I want to go home.
I get that. I tell people all the time that overtime is not worth your sanity. You know what I mean? Like, we have these holidays for a reason. It's time to, you know, well, COVID kind of put a stop to chilling out with your extended family, but even your family at home, if you're fortunate enough to have that, like, these holidays are meant for you to spend time with your loved ones. They're meant for you to kind of unwind, to de-stress, to relax. And the fact that jobs won't properly compensate you for that, lot of jobs won't properly compensate you for that is bullshit, bro. It kind of sucks.
It is, but it's what's funny about it is I initially thought I was gonna work that night because I didn't think we were gonna do anything, but Maria. Mm-hmm. Cooked, because normally we get together for Friendsgiving, but
yep, which is always awesome.
But this weekend is the both our weekends on, so that kind of put a damper on that. So I was just gonna work, but we wanted like Thanksgiving dinner, and like next weekend wouldn't have been November. So Maria cooked, and since I was off, I was like, "Fuck it, I'm not gonna work." So yeah. Maria ended up cooking. We didn't get home. I didn't get home until about 1-ish. Then I finally fell asleep we got home at about like 12:30. I fell asleep around like 1:30. I didn't get up back out of bed until 9. So I was knocked the fuck out. I got up. Rory had just finished cooking, so I woke up right on time because our oven is Trinity to dash.
I didn't get done making dinner until like 10 o'clock.
Yeah, like right when. No, my, yeah, you're right. 10 o'clock because it was way after I had gotten
up. I was pissed. My oven is trash.
So,
as a black person, if 10 doesn't mean, if you didn't mean 10 p.m., that was a pretty early Thanksgiving.
It was ridiculous. I was like, what the hell? So literally everything that could go wrong, like, you know, fuck 2020, the injector broke, the baster broke, my can opener broke. I had to cut open a can of cranberry sauce with a knife.
Well, cranberry sauce is ass anyway, so.
Well, nobody asked.
Wait,
you.
What?
Cranberry sauce is ass.
Yo, shut your
that's an abomination.
That's fine. It could be what it is. Cranberry sauce is ass.
Homemade cranberry sauce is ass.
Yeah, see, I like
care
the can.
Who homemade it. The best cranberry sauce is the canned cranberry sauce
from Ocean
that's
Spice.
Definitely processed in some factory in China that when you take it out the can, it looks like the can. That's God level right there.
Remind me to tell you guys a story about about China off air, about something stupid somebody at my job said that I had to check them on, but I can't say it on air. So, yeah.
Well, so, you're laughing just thinking about it.
Yeah, because I had to check the shit out this dude, man. I was like, I'm not here for the racism. That shit ain't happening. And it's funny, I end up having to do that a lot at work, like, and not necessarily with like employees, but like just people. Like, it's just like, oh, they say something sexist. I'm like, yeah, we're not doing it, dog. Like, no. It's like, that's not how it's gonna go down. I'm gonna need you to be a little more respectful. But yeah, man. So Thanksgiving was bomb. I ended up, Maria knocked out, I think, at like 3. Because after I got up, we watched a couple episodes of Titans.
Is a new season out? Yeah.
Nah, not yet. But I'm catching up because it was on the app, and since DC Universe wasn't available on the PlayStation, I had to watch it on a computer. I hate watching shit on my laptop.
Yeah.
So now that it's on HBO Max, we started watching. We watched it on the PlayStation.
Yo, so good. I didn't really know you're gonna watch it. Like, I started watching it on your DC Universe, and that's one of the few shows that I actually really enjoyed on that app. So I'm glad you're on it right now.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? And I'm talking to Maria, I'm like, you know, and since she's not a DC Comics, like, she's not really a comic book, like, head, like, you know what I mean? She loves, like, the stuff that comes out, but she's not, like, you know, she's not as into it as we are. So as things are going on, I'm talking to her about it, Jason Todd pops up, and, no, something happened, and I mentioned Jason Todd, and she knows I love the Red Hood, and so she goes, are you catching up on this? Because the Red Hood's going to be in season 3. I said, oh, yeah. That's exactly what I'm
saying. Exactly.
Like, I knew his motive.
Yeah, like, I thought Jason Todd's my guy. But the show's dope in general, though.
Yeah, the casting's awesome. The person that they got to play Jason Todd is like...
He looks like a dick. He
looks like somebody that the fans would vote to kill. Right? Like,
yeah.
He has that Jason Todd pre-Red Hood kind of, like, douchebaggy...
Oh, absolutely.
Look, so I'm pretty sure he's going to make an awesome Red Hood, because he's just the perfect Jason Todd.
Yeah. You said
Starfire.
I
love the fact that people were so butthurt that she was played by a black character. Like, how dare you have an alien not be played by a white person? She's an alien, motherfucker? Like, shit, she could have been purple. Who cares? Matter of fact, isn't she like a shade of orange?
She is literally orange.
I was going to say, she is orange, so I don't know why everybody was freaking the fuck out. Like, Beast Boy is green. Do they have a problem with him being Asian? People are crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that controversy, it's over with now. I don't really care much about it, but man, I don't know if you remember how people felt about it, but...
We did a whole episode on it.
Watching it, you can see how great...
Anna Jo.
She's absolutely. I was saying to old man last night, like, she's absolutely beautiful.
She really is.
Oh yeah.
Like, her skin is like butter. I was like, wow, she is beautiful.
Like, it glistens.
Glistens. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, wow, she's like glowing.
Yeah, man. So, I'm happy with what I'm watching so far. And actually, as soon as we're done recording and after all the people are, like, my aunt and her son leave, we're probably going to catch up on some more of it. Because I absolutely love the show, man. It's fucking dope.
Great show.
So speaking of things that are great, I had a genius idea.
As usual.
Marie, want to hear my genius idea?
Sure.
We all know what retirement homes are, right? Like, you
don't
want...
I know I don't want to be in one.
Yeah. I do. Like, the idea of, like, you know, like, you're old, like, you know, you don't, you can't be at home, they send you a place that has activities and things of that nature, like, you know, it's like a dorm for old people, right?
Yeah.
So I had an idea, you ready? A middle-aged home.
Bro. We have those. They're just different versions, but go ahead.
No. I'm talking specifically... between the ages of 40 and retirement. And then when you go to retirement, you go from middle-aged home to the retirement home. So it's like, so you go from the dorm life to a real life. And then if you don't, like, if you get to about 38, 39, you think you don't really want to be married, you don't want a roommate, but you want to be social. So then you go from your regular home to the middle-aged home. You get all the activities. People will cook. It'll be just like a dorm, but with middle-aged people.
Isn't that a cult?
No, it's not. No, it's not a cult.
Like, are they gonna give you like your own robe?
I mean,
you have to like stop eating protein. You're not allowed to see your family and friends.
No.
And then you move to like a ranch in Utah.
No. Okay, so it's not gonna be in the middle of. Oh, actually, it's not gonna be in the middle of nowhere. It's gonna be, we'll say, an hour away from like a major city, right?
Yeah.
So. It's not a cult because there is no like leader. It's just, you know, a landlord. And it's a cult. It's a co-ed place.
And his name is Zeno. His name is Zeno. I can't. And he came to Earth on an asteroid. And he's come to take away the true believers. We called him a landlord.
You called him what? Oh, landlord.
Called him landlord. Blessings be to landlord.
Blessed be to landlord. Look, man. All I'm saying is that it would be a dope idea. Imagine not having to pay. Imagine being able to like pay like $600 a month, right?
Yeah.
And you literally get to just be wherever. Like, he's like, oh, hey, what's going on? Oh, no, I'm going back to my room. And then they're like, oh, I'll come hang out with you. Like, you got a whole community of people that, like, you know, you like. You know what I mean? You're only paying X amount of money. You're paying less for a room, like, you know what I mean, like a studio than you would for an actual room. You got people you can hang out with. They got, like, daily activities. It's like a yacht, but it doesn't move.
What?
You know, you're onto something, bro. I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. I think there's like, I know you're trying to, I know you're serious, because you're serious about a lot of these things, but you're also being funny. But, you know, there's a definite need for something like that for a lot of people. Like, a lot of people.
So I was gonna say,
right? We live in a culture where you're not, you know, we're kind of
a cult.
Isolated at the same time. You feel me? So, like,
Old Man Wave. Old Man Wave. Check it out. Old Man Wave. Putting the cult in culture.
So I was gonna say there is places like that.
Yeah,
so like,
yeah.
They built a Margaritaville.
You live in Boston, right? A lot of those a lot of those new developments, like a lot of those apartments, are catered to like young, like middle and older millennials. Like, they focus on being part of community when you're in these buildings. You know, a lot of these. Well, before COVID, like, you know, you had your CrossFit group, you know, you know, people, fuck, shit, the Proud Boys, that's just a group of lonely dudes that have nothing else going on in their lives,
but see,
and they found a bunch of people that thought like them, right? Like, that, like, it, you know, people need camaraderie in community, so, like, shit, yo, let's invest in that, man, let's make $1 billion catering to lonely people.
That's my thing. It's like, and then on top of that, you don't have to be lonely, because legitimately you call some, you're like, hey, I'm gonna come over, like, you know what I mean, it's co-ed, like, you know what I mean, like, you know what I mean, you'll have the sense of community, which I think is super, super, super important.
Mm.
I'm trying to find, there's an issue of X Factor where they actually, one of the guys actually talked about how we aren't built to be like isolationists.
Yeah. Well, are we built to be isolationists, or are we built to be in communities?
Oh, he said we're not built to be isolationists.
Yeah, okay, there you go, yeah.
So I'm trying to actually find the I have the issue, I'm just trying to actually find the
actual. Who's this, I forgot the multiple man's name.
Madrix,
yes.
Well, it's funny because he talked about it, even though, like, he
clearly didn't. He's never alone.
So he goes, lonely, the state of being alone from the middle English combined of the words alone and all, excuse me, all in one. Come one, come all. That's the carnival, as the carnival barkers say. Kind of sucks one and all are the same. Sucks one and all are the same. Then again, maybe there's something said for being alone. It's a powerful emotion, though loneliness, it's not mankind's natural state of being. We're used to huddling together in groups for mutual protection, for a sense of community, for warmth. I mean, yeah, there are people who prefer solitude, hermits and such. But you have to think living that way for an extended period can make you nuts. So yeah, so like the idea of like that, of like I remember reading that, but again, like when you can make duplicates of yourself, and as he said, you can be your own parade. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that's, you know, COVID has proven that to me as well. Like for me, like my here's a sneak peek to my counseling sessions. My counselor told me recently that I exist in disconnect when a lot of people exist in connections, right? And that's why, like, I can disappear or feel comfortable alone for long periods of time, right? And I'm really never really alone because I live with my wife as well. But even that, like, I like to be isolated. But being forced to be isolated for this long a period is a little bit stressful, even for somebody like me.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm kind of an outlier when it comes to that. Well, so that, like, yo, we need people, bro. Like, if this year, hopefully not much longer than this year, has taught us anything, is that, yo, being alone fucking sucks, man. There's a lot of people that were alone. There were a lot of lonely people even before this. You know what I mean? And, shit.
Well,
I'm gonna think about those people a lot after this.
Well, it's funny because Maria actually knows this, that, like, I love my space. Like, yeah. So, like, I can be alone and just not really care. But as you said, like, that's something I've actually talked about with my therapist about, like, the idea of just, like, not being able to go do something as simple as, like, just, like, leave the house, get on a bus, and go to a bar if I wanted to. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or just pick up and go and do things because of the risk of bringing something home. You know what I mean? It's funny because people ask me why I can drink at a bar by myself. I'm like, it's the perfect combination of being alone and not all at once.
Yeah.
So for me, like, you know what I mean? I like being alone. What's the phrase from Clerks? I love gatherings, but I hate people.
Fascinating.
But like, honest to old man, I like people, but I'm. I like my people, I should say. I enjoy the
people. I think both of us have this thing that we dread, and to go with that quote, like, I know for me, and I think for you too, as well, if my wife is like, we're going somewhere, right? Honest, like, I'm going to be super honest with you. 90% of the time, I'm like, fuck. And it doesn't matter who. It could be people that I love to death, you know? And I have no issues with nothing, but you know, I really just don't want to get out the house. Like, I really just want to stay home and just be here, right? Like, but then as soon, I've learned this a long time ago, so I tend to go with it, regardless of how I feel. Because once I'm out the house and I get together with people, it's a great time. And I'm actually happy that I left the house at the end of the day.
That's
no matter what, I always feel that sense of dread before we go.
Oh yeah, it's you know, it's very similar to the conversation I think we had on the show, or maybe we didn't, about during the election when I wanted to just stay home, drink, and like crawl into a ball and hope for the best.
Yeah.
And Maria was like, "Yo," she was like, "Come on, we're going to Javi and Shanice's. Like, you'll be fine. You'll have a good time. Like, you know what I mean? Even if he's watching it, it'll kind of like." At least I can talk to you about, like, the good and the bad that can come with the numbers you're seeing. And it was true. Like, you know, we had a conversation. We talked about what was really going on, how a lot of these numbers don't mean anything. And even when they do, it's like, you know, you kind of put me at ease because you actually know what the truth behind politics, I think, would probably be the best way to put it. Because honestly, like, you know, some of it's not true, but again, like, you know, then other places will promote the negativity in it because fear brings in people who fear brings in it's not popularity, ratings.
Yeah. If it bleeds, it leads, right? That's what they said.
I've never heard that, but it's 100% accurate.
Yeah. Well, you're a journalist, old man.
That I am.
You should keep that phrase in your pocket. It's very important to journalism.
You know what's funny about that phrase in general, though, is like I don't necessarily like promoting any negativity in my writing. Mm. Like for example, I did a review of New Mutants. Now, I could have shit on it. I could have taken a huge shit on that movie and gone on about my business. I actually was thinking about this in terms of the podcast yesterday.
Wouldn't that be redundant? Taking huge shit on a huge pile of shit? Sorry.
I didn't hate the movie. I kind of enjoyed it. It was just the last 5 minutes of it was reminding me too much of like the Fantastic Four from 2015. Mm. But you know, I can find the good in a lot of things. I remember when I was working for a movie pilot, I got to interview the Big Show on one occasion and the Miz on another. Mm-hmm. And somebody said to me, oh, you should be a little more harsher with your questions. And I'm like, why? Like, no one's like, if I start asking all these really harsh questions, they're probably going to call the company like, what the fuck? What is this dude asking? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not how like things are going to go. And second off, I don't care enough to dog somebody. Like, you know what I mean? If someone's a piece of shit, then I just won't interview. Fuck them. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? But back to the New Mutants thing, I know there was some good in it. There was also some bad in it. So whenever I write reviews on movies that are terrible, I usually go the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
Because this way I can give you some good, I can give you some bad, and I can give you the honest truth about how shitty something is. You know what I mean? Like, I will shit on the Fantastic Four movie from 2015 because it was an ass movie. There's
no redeeming qualities at all.
No.
From the production to the film to a couple of good actors. That's about it.
But even the actors were bad at their roles. Like, not, let me rephrase. The actors may not have been bad at their roles, but the portrayal of those characters were, was.
Yeah.
I think, actually, recently, the woman who played Sue Storm, yeah, Kate Mara, actually said something about her, said something about her having a horrible time. I'm trying to bring up the article now. Kate Mara discusses her bad experience during filming the Fantastic Four reboot. She said, I've never talked about it before. I married one of my co-stars, so I don't regret doing that. Excuse me. I got that hangover voice. So I don't regret doing the movie at all, but I do wish I had responded differently to certain things. One of the writers at Bam Smack Pow wrote it. The fact of the matter is that my two horrendous experiences with the directors were male directors. This is happening because I'm a woman. It 100% was only happening with me. It was a power dynamic thing. Oh, wow. So, apparently the writers and the directors were a giant piece of shit. Which fits because that movie was a giant piece of shit. Like, if people...
And, I mean, I know we're not talking about... I know we were talking about something else. But it's interesting that she felt that way. Because I'm not going to discount how she feels. But I do know that there was a lot of pushback from her about her casting.
Yeah.
So it looks like the studio wanted her, but the writers didn't. So the Sue Storm in that movie was originally meant to be played by a black actress. But the studio wanted her instead.
Which...
So I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
I wonder if the writers...
Not saying it does, but...
It may. But we'll, yeah. Imagine if they got this and the writers were like, alright, you know what? Fuck this. We're gonna write a shitty movie now. Fuck them.
Yep. Yeah. But, and we're gonna treat her like shit. Which is kind of douchey, but...
Oh, absolutely. I don't know. That movie was... It's one of the few movies where when people bring up the worst movies ever, I always bring up Avatar as a joke. Even though...
The Blue Avatar? Because, I mean, there is an Avatar movie that's one of the shittiest movies of all time.
The Blue Avatar. And I jokingly said the movie wasn't that bad. Like, I just wasn't as enamored with it as everybody else was. But it wasn't a bad movie. But realistically, Fantastic Four is probably the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
It was really bad.
Yeah, it was, like, it was ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's pretty much what I got for those particular topics. Because
you literally went from middle age nursing home to fantastic or whatever.
Yeah.
Fant-four-stick. Is that how they spelled it?
Fant-four-stick, something like that.
Fant-four-stick is the worst movie of all time. I love it.
F-A-N-T-four-stick. It's like, dog. Like, what were they doing? What were they thinking when they...
Not only are people suffering with loneliness and COVID, some of these people are actually watching Fant-four-stick. And I'm pretty sure it's not helping their mental state in any way.
No.
By watching that.
That movie sucks. Yeah, I'm looking at the I'm looking at the cover of it right now. Yeah. It even looks ass.
Yo, it's like how Trump made George W. Bush look good in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Even though he was trash. Fant-four-stick made Rise of the Silver Surfer, like, made me think of Rise of the Silver Surfer in a nostalgic way.
Dude.
Like, that's crazy.
I think
that movie's horrible too.
I think I'm the only person in the world who didn't mind the first two Fantastic Four movies. I will say this, though. The one thing I did hate was the representation of Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
That was...
They sucked at villains. Dr. Doom and Galactus.
I still refuse to acknowledge that being Galactus.
I don't think they mentioned... Did they mention him as Galactus? Or mention that storm or whatever as Galactus?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Norrin.
Ridiculous, I tell you.
Norrin Rad.
Shut up.
Yo, no,
I don't remember one line from that movie. I just remember the Silver Surfer was awesome. That was about it.
Yeah, he rocked. You know, I'm not even gonna say that. I thought everybody in that movie rocked except for Dr. Doom. Like, I love the chemistry between Michael Chiklis, Jessica Alba, I can never remember the dude who played Mr. Fantastic, and Chris Evans. I thought their chemistry was fantastic. No pun intended. Yeah.
That was great casting.
Yeah.
Chris Evans was definitely like the perfect Johnny Storm. Miss Alba, they wasted her.
Oh god, yes.
But she would make it. Like, they could recast almost anybody for the MCU version of the Fantastic Four. Even the guy that played Dr. Doom. Because I think him as an actor, I think he's the perfect person to play Dr. Doom. Just fuck up his face a lot and just make him a genuine badass like he is in the comic books.
Yeah, have him speak in the, is it the first, third person?
A lot. He does a lot of Doctor Doom will not stand by this.
Yeah, like
heresy.
Yeah, we need that. We need a lot of that going on for that. You know what I mean?
He just has to be. He is like, in a lot of ways, Doctor Doom is smarter than Mr. Fantastic, especially now. Like, he's not just some failed scientist. Like, he can do a lot of shit. Like, make him the Dr. Doom in the comic books. Make him a formidable enemy of the Fantastic Four. And make the Fantastic Four truly fantastic.
Do you know... one of the reasons why people like Mr. Sinister, Dark Beast, and Dr. Doom are so much smarter than their rivals is because they are willing to take things a step further. Like, Reed Richards isn't cool with human experiments, but Dr. Doom, Mr. Sinister, and definitely Dark Beast are more than willing to go that extra mile. If we can compare Dr. Doom to Reed Richards, Dr. Doom is an accomplished sorcerer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He's almost on a level of Doctor Strange.
It depends on who's writing him, but I mean, Doctor Strange will always, like, smash Doctor Doom.
Oh, absolutely.
In, like, you know, 9 out of 10 times, yes. But he's always impressed by what Doctor Doom can do. Like, he has to pull out, like, the big toys to go against Doctor Doom. And oftentimes, he would actually need Doctor Doom's assistance and vice versa.
Yeah, absolutely. But again, it's something else that Reed Richards won't do. Like, he's not okay, trying to think of a way to say this. Reed Richards, I was actually talking to Marie about this. I'm not sure if it was Reed Richards or Tony Stark, but one of them said, magic is just science we haven't figured out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the way... go ahead.
He says that, but... I think he says that because he hates magic.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, if he had a legitimate understanding of it, I'm pretty sure that he would feel a certain way about it. But what kills me is when you live in a world of literal gods, you'd figure that, like, you know, you'd be like, oh, hey, this is actually a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, his son literally created universes with their own gods. So his son's a god to a lot of people in the multiverse.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, but, you know, I don't know. Shit.
He's like, yo, I got nothing.
I got nothing, man. I just want a really good Fantastic Four movie.
Me too, man. Me too.
That's all I want. I feel cheated.
Cheated is not even the word, man. There was a lot wrong with that last one just. I feel like that movie was, I think that's the movie that doomed 20th Century Fox.
You think that's the one?
I think that's the one that doomed him. Like,
you know what? You might be right, because I forgot how much later in time that came out. Like, how much later that came out after the original Fantastic Four movies with Fox.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, the only thing that kept them afloat at that point, or keeping them afloat, was Deadpool, right? Was Deadpool out by then?
Nah, Deadpool, I don't think, came out until 2016. Because me and Valkyrie got married in 2015. And
when did Fantastic come out?
2015.
So maybe the X-Men franchise, as hit or miss as that was, that franchise definitely made a lot of money. I think they're seeing like $1 billion per or close to.
Yeah, I think the only one that I'm pretty sure Dark Phoenix, I don't even know if it made its money back.
It bombed, but it was at the end.
I'll tell you this. Let me tell you, I will watch Dark Phoenix a million times before I watch Apocalypse one more time. Yo, I hated that movie. Oh my god, that movie was just, it was so fucking bad. Like,
I mean, any chance I get to see Olivia Munn dressed up as Plastic.
Oh, and that's the funny thing about it. She rocked. Like, she was really good in that movie, but it was like, how do you go about putting her in a movie, like, you know, and giving her, I think, maybe 4 lines?
That's crazy.
And then when we got a chance to see her, like, she was kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but, you know, whatever. So, I did want to talk about some relationship stuff, because you just had your wedding renewal.
Yes. Vow renewals.
Renewals, sorry. Which
renewals.
Was...
Renewals. I can't speak either.
but I thought it was a dope idea. It seemed more like... It was very wedding-ish without the stress of a wedding.
Well, for us...
Yeah, I was gonna say
it. Like, your wife and my wife, they definitely put their foot.
We put a lot of work in. It was a lot of work.
I saw the stress emanating from them on like a daily basis before the event. But because of their hard work, because of all of the people that did come, because of you guys, it was probably one of the best. That was probably like the best week I've had, like, in decades, or I don't even know.
Well, it, which again brings up the sense of, we talked about forward community.
I just why can't we just buy that house and live there?
For real.
Like, all of us, like, our commune, we can just live, there's so much space.
And we can, and there's enough space to build on it, too. And the best part, but the idea of, like, everybody put, like, everybody there did something. Like, you know what I mean? There was not one person there who sat on their ass and did nothing the whole time. Like, even the little ones were fucking, what's Shanice's cousin's name? Her aunt? Excuse me.
I don't know if I should say her name on air.
Well, you know who she is. Yeah. But like, like her son was awesome. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. He was super helpful. He was never in the way, but he was always kind of there. You know what I mean? So that was super cool. Your two friends who came up from was it Jersey?
No. He's not from Jersey. No, this was he's a kid that I kind of when I was at Massasoit. My microbiology professor told him to, you know, talk to me about, you know, we said that he thought that we would have a lot in common as far as, like, our love for science and stuff like that. And I really liked the kid. Like, his story is fascinating. Like,
yeah,
like Maria, I don't know if you know Champion, the Champion school in Brooklyn.
I do. Yeah. My nephew went there.
Yeah. He went there. And now he has an environmental science degree, and he has a pretty decent job at a pretty cool company, right?
And like, he drives a Tesla he can sleep in.
Yeah, I had to look up the camp feature when I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? That joint is dope.
I thought he was joking. I was just like, and then he left. I'm like, is he really gonna go sleep in his car? Like, does he realize? And then Maria was like, no, that's actually a car with the feature. I'm like, what?
And he helped me a lot when I worked for a startup. I actually hired him, and and ever since then, like, we went through, like, I don't know if a lot of our viewers have ever worked for a startup, but that shit's stressful. And if you go through that with somebody, you build a bond for life, man.
You're gonna laugh, but I think a lot of the people who listen have worked at a startup or have tried to start one up themselves. Or are in the current process of doing it you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, they know, man. Like, he came in and he helped create an atmosphere that was slightly less stressful than it should have been, but...
Which is always dope.
I love that kid.
But yeah, man, it's... I loved it because, like, the idea of something that you always talk about, like, building, like, having a compound and really just bringing people who are going to be...
Cult. Why you gotta say compound?
Oh, God, man.
Yeah, I want to build a compound for my followers.
Oh, man. But yeah, but it also brought up some things about... some questions, some things that are no-nos in relationships. Because there were some things that were brought up. Because there were a lot of couples there that range from, like, brand new to, like, elders.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've noticed that kept coming up was not watching movies or shows without your significant other. And that being...
Yo, facts.
And that being a divorceable offense.
Yo, I could definitely see if that adds up, right? And you include that with other shit. Like, that would definitely be in, like, the divorce papers. Like... continuously watched our Netflix shows without me.
It was funny because as we were going to bed, I said to Valkyrie, I'm like, hey, I'm going to... So now I have to wait for you to watch Titan. She goes, oh, yeah, now that you got me into it. It was my own damn fault. If I had just watched it and not said anything... But I don't know. There's something fun about watching a movie or a show with your significant other. It's you kind of laugh and talk about the same things and... Like, sometimes someone will pick something up that I missed. Like, there was a particular camera angle where Dick Grayson looked like he had this, like, pubic mustache.
Mm-hmm.
And I missed it. And so she was like, oh, my God, did you see that? His, like, little prepubescent mustache? I went, no. So I rewound it, and I'm like, oh, my God, that was a terrible camera angle for him.
If people want to know what married couples do on a regular basis, we just talk a lot of shit about everything.
Yeah. But, no, it's true.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what we do. And I guess when you take that into the movie watching or show watching experience, it gets a lot better. But why is it such... Like, why do I get upset when Shanice watches a show that we are supposed to be watching together without me? Like, and am I really upset? Or am I just like, oh, you broke tradition. Like, why is this a thing? Right? Like,
yeah.
This is what's wrong with society. We stress out about this, bullshit.
This is what's wrong with society? This right here.
Yeah, this is all the cause. This is the main cause of all the problems.
Oh, is that what it is? Fuckboy 45 watched the show before Rest of America.
Yeah, yo, one of his hoes watched the series ending of Game of Thrones without him, and he was like, "Fuck it,
that nigga ain't got no hoes." Fuckboy has no hoes. I'm not entertaining this.
He literally had hoes, bro.
He got sued
by one.
No, those hoes had him.
He literally.
You think that's what it was? He was sipping out here on these streets.
That he didn't have any hoes. Those hoes had him.
Yo, they let him grab him by the pussy.
He may have done that, but like, let me tell you, I'm gonna say it again for the umpteenth time. He's never had sex. He's just he's that teenager who thinks he knows about what sex is. Like, he's the type of dude who says, "Oh yeah, so then I peed in her, and then I had sex." It's like, nigga, what? You peed her. You peed her.
You ever watch Wolf of Wall Street?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
That was Donald Trump in the '80s, bro.
No, it wasn't. Do not disrespect the character Leonardo DiCaprio played by calling him fucking Donald Trump. He could never, ever, ever, ever be that dude. He wanted to be that dude.
Not him. Like not the self made portion of him, but I'm pretty sure he lived a similar lifestyle in the '80s.
The only similar thing he did was probably get drunk and wreck a car. And then thought he did it smoothly.
Yo, this has been like one of our longest arguments. And it's crazy. Whether or not Donald Trump has had sex or not. I think we've been discussing this.
Oh, forever. Since he
and it's dope.
Since he started running.
Oh, you know who else on the list never had sex? Tom Cruise.
Ooh. He just had like a Scientology minions impregnate his wife?
Yeah.
You think that's what happened?
Yes. Tom Cruise does not look like someone who knows how to use his penis for anything.
I freaking can't.
He doesn't know, Tom Cruise doesn't know how to use his
penis. Who says things like
me?
That?
Me! Fuck him. Tom Cruise has never had sex.
Damn! Tom Cruise is a national treasure.
Tom Cruise is overrated. Tom Cruise is super overrated.
Ooh, that's a discussion. That's a discussion, bro.
You know what? I
disagree.
I'm gonna go a step further. Top Gun was ass. Top Gun sucked.
Bro.
Top Gun is a horrible, horrible, horrible movie.
You are disrespecting a lot of American institutions right now, my brother.
Fun fact, don't care.
Man. But you have to. When's the last time you watched it?
5-6 years ago?
That's pretty recent.
Yeah, it was the first time I watched it. I was like, oh, you got. No, matter of fact.
That's the first time you watched it, like, in your life.
No, so I'm lying. The first time I watched it, I was in North Carolina with Fletch and Ma.
How old were you?
Probably about. In my 20s, that much I'll say. I was definitely in my 20s.
So I get it. I get your... Like, if you grew up watching movies like that, like Top Gun, like just Tom Cruise back then, like as a... Yo, this dude was like the pinnacle of 80s, early 90s, like...
Look, I get who
hero,
he is.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, Tom Cruise is... Wait, so you didn't like Mission Impossible, like the movies, the franchise?
No, so that was the next point I was going to bring up. I saw Mission Impossible 1 for the first time 2 years ago and loved it.
Again,
absolutely loved it. So some
and he
movies
has a lot of his own stunts too, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's absolutely impressive. But yeah. Here's my thing about it, though. Movies, classic movies, still hold up. Casino yeah. still holds up. Carlito's Way still holds up. And I saw both of those movies for the first time in my 30s.
Yeah.
Like, so there are projects that still hold the test of time.
Yeah.
Top Gun did not, and I know a couple of people.
What?
I know
Top Gun was like fun, man.
Top Gun was ass.
But Maria, how old were you when you first watched Top
Gun? I was young. No, it's true. I it probably doesn't have good replay value now, but
yeah,
for me, like, I'd probably be like, but.
Like, I remember seeing that movie and going, like, yo, there will never be a movie as awesome as Top Gun.
I wouldn't go that far for myself.
No, as a kid, but I was, like, I loved planes. Like, I wanted to be an astronaut. Like, you know, I had, like, toy fighter jets and shit. Like for me, like, that movie was the pinnacle for me as a kid.
That's understandable.
When I first watched it. And, you know, it's like, shit, how we all look at the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon. Or the X-Men cartoon. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but
those aren't the best things.
Before Ninja Turtles, what'd you say before Ninja Turtles?
X-Men. Oh, I said that after.
So, I don't really count. So, the two of those are different.
Yeah.
X-Men was one of the first of its time. And there are certain things that they couldn't do then that they could do now. Like, Wolverine could use his claws on people if they redid it now without the need of blood, because they did it with Leonardo and his swords in the 2003 Ninja Turtles cartoon. Ninja Turtles, in general, was just... It was for a different generation. It was for, like, a younger crowd who It was a more Looney Tunes cartoon than it was a serious ninja cartoon.
But you got 40-year-olds right now... Looking at the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon, like, it was the pinnacle of animated art, which it really wasn't, you know what I mean? But they see it that way because, you know, it's part of their childhood, and they remember the feelings that it gave them, I think, you know?
Yeah, but now allow me to go with this. Now let's take Batman the Animated Series, Superman, and the Justice League Unlimited cartoons.
Yeah.
A decade plus later, and all of them still hold up. In fact, I think Batman the Animated Series may be better now as an adult watching it than it was when I was a kid.
Well, I think that, okay, so that's a difference, I think. And I get what you're saying. But also, those series were legit labors of love. Like, that Batman animated series, like, that animation quality for, like, the storytelling, right? Like, that was actually legit art. So it matches how we viewed it as a kid, because it wasn't meant just for kids. Like, it was meant for people that enjoy that type of art. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Same thing with the Justice League and Justice League Unlimited. Like, those were really complex stories. Like, that's,
yeah,
like, I don't know.
Yeah, but you're 1,000% right, though. Like, yeah. But I don't know. But I also feel like Batman the Animated Series is also on a completely other level.
Than
like any other. Actually, not even just comic book cartoons, just cartoons in general.
Yeah. And Mask of the Phantasm was probably like the best animated movie of all time. To be honest with you,
I've seen it once when it like originally debuted. And I haven't watched it since, so I keep telling myself I'm going to go back and revisit it. But what's the other one? Batman Beyond, the one with the movie with the Joker. Like, that Tim Drake story was like deep as hell, and like it was incredibly sad.
And Batman Beyond as a show as well was actually pretty good too. Like, DC has a pretty strong track record for that.
Yeah, it's funny, and this is a conversation that's brought up among nerds all the time about how, like, the DC Comics cartoons are a million times better than the movies that they put out.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing, I don't think there's anything really comparable to what DC's doing with their animation. Like, it's fantastic. Like, if the movies did a better job like emulating what they do in the animated series,
yeah,
which I think Titans is doing,
yeah,
which is why it's such a good show. I think the movies would be a lot better, well, a lot more better received.
I mean, look, same thing, and like Doom Patrol has, for the few episodes of Doom Patrol that I've seen, they've managed to balance like that happiness, darkness, and like fun. And like the characters are more than just like their surface and their base. So, again, like it's, what is it about them though? Like, what is the big, like, you know what? This also goes to a point I was making about the X-Men and the X-Men franchise. Sometimes certain things aren't built for movies. Some things are just better off as shows. You can really get into it. Can you imagine them trying to do a Titans movie? Like, you know, like there's way too much to get into.
Like, I can now. I can see them doing that after Shazam in particular.
Yeah.
So, and the thing, I think when people, and you ask why is this happening to DC movies, right? And I think it has a lot to do with like the studios being heavy-handed with the creative process. So Marvel Studios, like the people like Feige, like from the producers to the directors to the writers, like they're all fans of the work of the original work. Like, and the studios really don't. Disney, as you know, as regimented as they are with everything, I think they still give the artists, the people, the creators, a lot of leeway in how they tell their stories.
Yeah.
And that's why when you see the MCU, even though it's a connected universe, every individual movie has its own individual feeling, like its own individual vibe, because the artists, the creators, have a lot of leeway as to what they can do. But when you look at DC movies, it's just what they have, a script, and then the studio just rips it up. They have casting decisions and the studio is like, no, we don't want that to happen, we want the movie to be this way, all right, F it, like, let's just hire Joss Whedon because he did good with Marvel, and you know, even though we have a movie, let's just cut it up and have him do something that the youth will like, you know. And it just,
so it seems,
it
like
shows as bad.
It's like unity seems to be like, unity and continuity seems to be their biggest issue.
Yeah, it's disjointed. And then Shazam, it seems like that production, they didn't really think it was going to be that big anyways.
Yeah.
So, you know, the creators had a lot more leeway and it showed. It's probably their best movie ever.
So, about to wrap up, we're almost at an hour, but I want to make sure that I stay on something that I'm going to be doing every time we record, and I'm going to highlight a person or a time that should never be forgotten. And it seemed something I think needs to be brought up that we didn't record when this happened was the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
RBG.
So Javi, would you like to explain to people? Actually, Valkyrie, would you like to? We'll get to you next. I think it's important that you talk about her in general. But Javi, who is Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
Well, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was one of the most impactful liberal voices on the Supreme Court ever. She was a strong advocate of women's rights. She, you know, again, as a liberal voice, she often voted for decisions, whether or not they passed or not, that expanded the rights of individuals. As opposed to stripping them away. She died in 2020, I believe.
September 18th.
She was suffering from cancer for a number of years, but one of her standout characteristics that people think about was her love of physical fitness. Like, she every day she would work out. There was actually Ruth Bader Ginsburg like workout plan, right? She did planks and push-ups, like her personal trainer, actually, because she was, I believe she was the first woman to be to have her body in the Capitol, displayed in the Capitol. and her personal trainer came up to her casket and did a plank.
Aww.
Yeah.
And, that's fucking people, cool. You know, if you're not aware of her love of just working out and because she wanted her replacement to kind of be a liberal, progressive voice. Woman. And unfortunately, you know, elections have consequences, so...
Fuck boy, you got a fuck boy.
Yeah, I'll finish with this. Like, the impact of that happening in that way is already being seen. There was a decision that the Supreme Court decided on, a New York law that limited religious gatherings through the COVID, and they overturned that law 5-4, which means that the conservative justices won that decision, right? If RBG was still there, it would have gone the other way.
Yeah.
Right? So the impact of her loss is already being felt, and it's going to be felt for some time.
Before I get to Valkyrie, I want to have the last word on this.
I mean, I don't have to.
No, but you're a woman, and I think that, like, you know what I mean? But no, it's like...
It's just the way you said it.
Like,
you're a woman.
And, like, I think...
If you're the old man Wade, don't necessarily reflect those of the old man Wade Corporation.
No, I'm just saying because, like, there are certain things that, like, are felt harder for women when with something like this. So, Miss Telekinesis, a writer for the old man Wade, for oldmanwade.com, I asked her about it, and she said she was a champion for women. I and every woman owe everything to her. Then she goes, do you know without her, I couldn't open a bank account without a male co-signer? I couldn't do anything if not for her. And it's like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, just shit like that. And people forget, like, how it wasn't that long ago that she, like, you know what I mean, that she was in power doing the things she was doing, so... Imagine being a woman and not being like, hey, I want to open a bank account. Sure, do you have a man with you?
Imagine in 2020 that I still have to ask your permission to get a friggin'...
Yeah.
Get my tubes tied. I mean, we're still fighting all that type of shit, right? Like, we've had this conversation before. Like, as women, we don't have full autonomy over our own bodies, and if you are married, like, you really are, they, like, it's expected that you converse with your spouse. Like, I'm nervous about the fact that she's out, and the woman that they put in to replace her, I forget her name.
It doesn't matter.
Because she is, like, a super conservative, like, Republican is what I'm hearing. And I'm afraid of what kind of laws will be passed or backtracked because now they have more of the majority vote leaning that way.
Yeah.
That's kind of, like, scary when you think about...
Incredibly, incredibly scary.
I mean... She accomplished a lot. Like, she was a teacher, she was a judge, she forced laws to be changed that nobody ever thought would be changed. Like, it was a huge loss for humanity in general, I feel like. Men, women, children, like...
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that I'm proven wrong, and that maybe it won't be worse, and they... Like, I mean, with Biden in office, I feel like we're going to be safe when it comes to, like, women's rights and...
I think it's more Kamala than anything else.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean, like, with that whole pair. But I'm still concerned about what could happen before they even make it into office, right? Because I'm waiting for Dickface to try to pass 50 million things that will fuck us all over. So that he can blame later it on Biden's presidency or whatever the hell, you know what I mean? That still makes me nervous. Like, how much they forced a judge to be chosen and placed before he left office for a reason.
Yeah.
Right? Because they wanted this specific woman because of her beliefs and because it would help, like, their cause. That's one of the major things that I'm nervous about.
Yeah, and he's our, like, He's already trying to do stuff like this. What was it? There's been a hobby. You probably know this. As Fuckboy tried to do anything, what laws is he trying to ban before he has to get kicked the fuck out of?
He's actually been kind of subdued recently. I mean, he doesn't really have a lot of time left to really get anything important done outside of executive decisions. And with executive decisions, Biden can overturn those immediately as soon as he gets into office.
Oh. Yeah.
So that's and he's starting to come around to understand that he lost this election. I mean, he's obviously putting up a strong front, but the things that he's saying is definitely pointing towards, like, yeah, I guess I'll go. as far as like the impact that this new justice can have, I think Maria is right. The only thing is that I'm not too sure what Biden can do to prevent the Supreme Court from doing their job. So essentially what this means is that even if Democrats win the Senate, which is, I don't know how likely that is. It's hard to tell. And we pass a bunch of sweeping laws that protect women and minority rights, certain states can challenge those laws.
Exactly.
In the Supreme Court. Right?
Yeah.
And overturn them, and then still fuck over women. I think right
there is the biggest impact that she can have. And again, she's already helped overturn that COVID law in New York, even though the governor, you know, he modified it because of the challenge. And they still overturned it just because, even though the law wasn't even on the books at the time. But we'll see. People at that level, they tend to, their ideology, their political beliefs aren't the only things that sways their decisions. It's also
very true.
Their the way they look at the law is also a very important aspect. And that's why you'd have conservative justices deciding along with liberal justices on occasion. You have liberal justices deciding with conservative justices. Because at the end of the day, you're arguing to the Supreme Court, and you have to make an argument that the individual justices believe in.
Yeah.
And then even after that, they all communicate. Just like the process of the justices making their decision is complex and fascinating, man. They talk amongst each other,
mm-hmm.
they crack on each other, they argue with each other. But at the end of the day, it's all about the arguments that are being made. So what that means for us is that people that are progressive need to really sharpen up their argumentative styles.
Yes.
And hire really good lawyers, because there's going to be a lot of fights for the next 4 years. The next
exactly
30 years, because we're talking about the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
You can take out of it, but
she fought six major cases in the Supreme Court. She won 5 of those. Like, she was that good. She wrote women's right law, essentially, right?
The justices work is that they don't make the laws,
but they
decide whether or not certain things are constitutional. And with her being on the court, like you say, her voice was a voice for women, you know, for minorities a lot of times.
For the LGBTQ.
So when these challenges do go up, it's based off those conversations they had, and she was really good at convincing people. And she did write a lot of decisions that were beautifully written, and like some people just look at like Supreme Court decisions and just read the justices' different opinions on it. And when if you read hers, it's impactful.
She did a lot of cool shit that people don't even realize. She married the first same-sex couple. She's the first.
That's fucking dope.
There's a picture of that, isn't there?
I think so. She was the first female Jewish judge to sit on the Supreme Court. She's was the second female to gain tenure, at Columbia. She's just done a lot. And she fought for equal pay. Like, it's just, there's a lot.
Yeah, so gonna have to wrap it up. This has been the Old Man Wade Show. I want to thank the Pinnacle of Political Fiction, Super Hog, for doing this. Don't forget to visit oldmanwade.com.
Yes, we should get some new articles up by today, hopefully.
All right, and there will be more to come. I want to shout out to Miss Telekinesis for writing that article, which was dope and well received. Shout out to Duke for yawning. Have you got anything?
Me? Yo, man, just love everybody that you're around, yo. Don't take your family for granted, because, you know, you know the next time you're going to be able to see them.
Yeah. Until then...
Damn it, Wade!